Praise the Lord, church. Since we gathered together here, the presence of God has been ministering to us. I know that the presence of God is here and will continue to minister to us this evening. This morning. Okay, I wanted to sing a Malayalam song that the team sang for offering last week. It's a song that God put in my heart along with the message that God put. So I just want to sing a few stanzas. Swargiya pidave nin tiruhidam Swargatile pole puvilakene Ninhidam cheidona nin sudhene pole Ninhidam cheidona nin sudhene pole Innu nyan varunne ninhidam cheiva Innu nyan varunne ninhidam cheiva En deivame ninishtam cheyuvan Vannidunne nyan innu modama Ende ishtam omnum venda priyene Ange ishta ennil poornamakkene Ende ishta omnum venda priyene Ange ishta ennil poornamakkene Yeshu Christuvin sharirayagathan Ulla ishtathil nyan suthenai theernu Yeshu Christuvin sharirayagathan Ulla ishtathil nyan suthenai theernu Deiva ishtam cheythu Vaktattam prabipan Deiva ishtam cheythu Vaktattam prabipan Poorna sahishnada Egane priya Poorna sahishnada Egane priya En deivame Nin ishtam cheyuvan Vannidunne Nyan innu maurama ende ishtam ondu penda priyene Ange ishtam ennil poornamakkene Ende ishtam onnum venda priyene Ange ishtam ennil poornamakkene Aarum ariyatha Shrestha bhojanam Nyan pujichu nityam Jeevichidunnu Aarum ariyatha Shrestha bhojanam Nyan pujichu nityam Jeevichidunnu Ende rakshakende Ishtamellam cheythu Ende rakshakende ishtamellam cheythu vela thiyekkunna ende aaharam vela thiyekkunna ende aaharam en deivame nin ishtam cheyuvan vannidunne nyan innu modama ende ishtam onnum priyeni ange ishta ennil poornamakkene ende ishta onnum venda priyeni ange ishta ennil poornamakkene hallelujah nammal ee paattu paadiyathu pole nammal devathinte sannidhiyil vannathu nammalde ishtathinu vendiyalla നമ്മുടെ കാര്യങ്ങൾ നടക്കാൻ വേണ്ടിയല്ല നമ്മൾ ദൈവത്തിൻ്റെ ഇഷ്ടം ചെയ്യുവാൻ അതാണ് നമ്മുടെ ആഗ്രഹം അല്ലേ വി ഹാവ് കം ഇൻ ടു ദ പ്രസൻസ് ഓഫ് ഗോഡ് ബിക്കോസ് വി വാണ്ട് ടു ഡു വാട്ട് പ്ലീസസ് ഗോഡ് നോട്ട് വാട്ട് പ്ലീസസ് അസ് വി ആർ ഹിയർ നോട്ട് ടു റിസീവ് blessing. We are here to praise God. God gives us blessing. Regardless of whether you come here or not, God will give us blessing. That is how God is. God is faithful. But we are coming to gather here not to receive a message, but to praise God. Everything that we do here is coming out of a heart full of thanksgiving. It is a heart full of praise and worship. But I like those two lines that, you know, not two lines, the two stanzas, the Yeshu Christuvin Sharira Yagata, Ulla Ishtatil Nyan Suddhanai Thirnu, Deva Ishtam Chedu Vaktatam Prabhipan, Purna Sahishnada, Egine Priya, just like Christ gave up his desire so that we can, he could die for us, so that we could come, become a holy person. And then the last stanza, Aru Mariyata Shrestha Bhojanam, Nyan Bujichu Nithyam Jeevichidunu. I'll translate that in English for the youth. Aru Mariyata Shrestha Bhojanam. It means a special meal that no one else knows. Nyan Bujichu Nithyam Jeevichidunu. I eat it and I live forever. Ende Raksha Gende Ishtam Ellam Chedu. I do the will of my Savior. Velathikkunnathaan ende aaharam. Fulfilling his job, his work is my food. So last week we were talking about food and fasting and all of that, and it said that we have to do something that will increase our spiritual man. And this song really sums it up for me, because it talks about doing God's will. That is the purpose. We are doing God's will. Yes, we are here because God saved us. Yes, we are here because God healed us. Yes, we are here because God blessed us. Of course, we ought to thank God for that. And we know God will continue to bless his people. But we are here to praise God, to thank God, to worship God this morning. Hallelujah. Last week when we spoke from John chapter 12 verses 23, onwards, that's what we were looking at. I talked about Jesus saying, my hour has come. And I said, from this point onwards, the Gospel of John is not just some ordinary gospel. It changes because it's completely focused on the last moments of Jesus Christ. No other gospel spends as much time talking about the end stages of Jesus, what he did right before he goes to the cross, than the Gospel of John. That is because John was the one who was with Jesus. John was the one who leaned on Jesus. John experienced Jesus' pain. He was an intimate friend of Jesus. So when this time came that all of them were coming to worship together, when we read that verse 23, and Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in the world will keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor him. And Jim Olanti was talking from this verse a little bit. And also this verse, when we meditated on it last week, I talked about denying ourselves. I went through the chapters and he said, what is the main foundation of discipleship? And in this verse, in verse 26, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. This is the requirement of every Christian. Christian identity is not based on your who, where your parents, or what was your religion in the passport. Your Christian identity is because you're a disciple of Jesus, which means that you're following Jesus. This is our mindset. And then when we look through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, I said the cost of being a disciple is denying himself, taking up the cross daily and following him. Then I said, what is this cross? Did Jesus come into this world to take our cross, to take our sin, to take our pain, to take our diseases, to take our shame? Then what cross are we called to bear? Are we still carrying our anxiety? Are we still carrying our sin? What is this cross that God is asking us to bear? And I then ultimately I landed in Luke, and I said that if anyone loves his parents, his spouse, all the things that he should love, if anyone does not hate, that's the word. Let's go back to that portion so that we can catch up with that portion. It's Luke 14 verse 26. Luke chapter 14 verse 26. Can someone read and help me? Read the next verse too. So these two verses go hand in hand. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Let me ask you, do you love your parents? Of course. Do you love your brothers and sisters? Of course. Do you love your children? Of course. But God is saying, unless you hate them, you cannot be my disciple. This is fundamental. If you don't hate these things that Jesus said, then you cannot be my disciple. So what does Jesus really mean? The following verses, whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So we are understanding that Jesus attributes the cross that we have to carry is hating people and hating ourselves. Last week I said, if you're struggling to love yourself, come this week, I will make you hate your life even more. And that is my intention of my sermon today. Don't worry, the next week is a blessing sermon, so you'll get blessed. But this week, just stick with me, and we are talking about hating ourselves. When we look at the scriptures, Jesus tells us what is eternal life. John chapter 17 verse 3. Can someone take that and read it? And this is eternal life. What is eternal life? That you will know the only true God and Jesus Christ. These are the two requirements. Do you know who is the only God? Yes. Do you know Jesus Christ? Yes. I am telling you today, you are already started living your eternal life. From the time you became a Christian, when you had the Holy Spirit come into you and you confessed that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, till eternity, you are in Christ. This is an identity that we have to understand. We will never die. Of course, when we look at it in a worldly fashion, yes, we will die. But the children of God will never die. They only sleep. All throughout the New Testament, whenever we see any saint passing away, we see that the word there is fallen asleep in the Lord. They never say, this person passed away. This person's only fallen asleep. What does fallen asleep mean? This person is waking up. I know sometimes when I'm looking at Jedediah early on, when he was a small boy, and I look at him, his chest is not rising and falling. And I immediately run and say, does he have life? Sometimes all the ladies, when you experience this, you must have felt that did he pass away? Because he's small, we don't know, he's very quiet. But immediately you hear his breath and he's only sleeping, he will wake up. True. That means if you are sleeping, you will rise again. You understand what I'm telling you? death has a finality to it. You don't expect a dead person to come back to life or wake up. Some people have experienced that, but that's not the usual case. In most cases, death is final. Once that body is there, no one expects that body to rise up. But sleep is not like that. When a person sleeps, you know, after the sleep is over, when the alarm rings, when the trumpet blows, they will wake up. So this is the understanding of being in Jesus. Eternal life has already begun. All of you who claim to be in God, who know God and His Son Jesus Christ, and are following Jesus, remember, following Jesus is important. Following Jesus in the footsteps of being a disciple, then you are a Christian and you are starting to live in eternal life. This is the narrow way that God was talking about. When we start looking into this more, God starts talking about us counting everything we have up to this point as nothing. I said, deny yourself. That's the first part of all the three Gospels. The cost of being a disciple was, what was it? Deny yourself. What does denying yourself mean? What does denying yourself mean? Do any of us deny ourselves? Let's say I'm a person like that. If I crave something, I want chocolate, or I want a biscuit, or a chips, I just go into the car, drive to Walmart, pick it up, come back. I desire it. I feel the desire. I don't deny myself. But if I want to go on a diet, what do? I deny myself of those junk food. There is a cost to it. I'm not feeding my appetite. I'm not feeding my hunger. I'm not feeding my craving. Last week we talked about how fasting is feeding the spiritual man while starving the fleshly man. And every action you do on earth is either one or the other. By the end of this sermon, you will understand that. Let's go read Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 to 11. Again, there's a lot of verses this week. Get ready for Bible reference soon. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 11. Can someone read it for me, please? So this portion of scripture, Philippians, through almost this introduction, Paul gives his great heritage, how he suffered, how he has done things. He's a Jew who lived blamelessly according to the law. That's what Paul says. He lived blamelessly before God. But in verse 7, he says, all of those things that I considered of value and worth, what do I consider it now? Rubbish. The Greek word in the Greek word's translation into English, I cannot even say it because it's a swear word in Greek and in English. Paul put a swear word here. It is absolute rubbish. It's the worst. What was his identity? All good things. He was a Jew. He was a Roman. He's saying all my identity that I had up to this point is one big giant zero. He was educated by Gamaliel, top disciples of the Pharisees, moved in powerful circles, and he's saying all of that is zero. What makes Paul say that? He says, I consider it rubbish because of the things that I gained. Whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. So he's trading his old identity. His identity that is what, who he is. Who he is as a person. All that people know him to be. He's trading that for something even better. You know, there is an experiment that people do. It's like in a business experiment. I don't know how many of you have heard it. That people start with a paper clip, start trading it up, and they end up with like other things. People have ended up with houses by trading it with other people, and they started with a paper clip. Let me ask you this question. Will you guys do a trade if it is better, if it's worse than the item you're getting? No. When you trade with someone, you want some benefit for you, right? If you're giving it to someone, there is some benefit you're trading. Trading is you give something and gain something in return. That is trade. So this, whenever we give something or trade with a person, we are getting something of greater or equal value. Here, Paul says, I have considered all my worth until now as rubbish in light of the surpassing knowledge of knowing God. What is eternal life? Knowing God. So knowing God is more important than anything in his life up till that point. Then let's keep reading. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that is which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. Now let's focus on verse 10 a little bit. It says there, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. I don't know. Can someone read that verse in Malayalam? I think Malayalam might be easier to understand. Philippians chapter 3, verse 11. Okay, Madhu. Yeah. So when we look at that portion of scripture, it says, I become a person who fellowships with the suffering of Christ. Did Christ suffer on this earth? Did he suffer? Yes, he suffered. Children of God, God is calling us not just to suffer, but to even die. He said, conforming to the death of Jesus Christ. Did Jesus hate his own life? It's a confusing answer. There is no right or wrong answer in this case. Because if you say, no, he didn't hate his life, the final prayer at Gethsemane, not my will but yours, doesn't make sense. But finally, when he gave up everything on the cross, he had to at some point say, this is more important than living. Me dying is more important than living. If Jesus thought, no, living is better, I want to live, none of us would be here today. Okay? We are here because Jesus died. But Paul is saying we have to become like Jesus, where we conform ourselves to the cross, which Paul is saying, basically, go get crucified. Go die to yourself. Go suffer with Jesus. There are a lot of people who take this literally. If you go to Brazil, there are people who whip themselves so that they will experience the pain that Jesus experienced. There are people who literally crucify themselves. Crucify. and hang on a cross while being alive, because they want to participate in the suffering of Christ. Is that what Christ is saying? No. He wasn't talking about a physical suffering. He was talking about a spiritual suffering. Again, when we think of the flesh, it is physical. When we think of the spiritual man, it's spiritual. So Jesus saying, are you suffering with me along in the spirit? That in itself is an hour-long topic, suffering with Christ. But I'm just going to stick with this part which says, what is discipleship? What is denying yourself? That's the cross that God is calling us to bear. The reason why we are doing this is because we may attain resurrection from the dead. This is the price that we receive. Resurrection from the dead. Okay. Let me go over a few more verses. Can someone read Matthew chapter 19, verse 21 to 24? Yeah, thank you. When we read that portion, you see the first verse starts with what? Go, give up all your possessions. Imagine Christ comes to you today. He's literally standing here in front of you and he says, give up all of your possessions. Would you? Could you? When we usually listen to this message, we'll be like, this is such a foolish man, foolish rich man. But if Jesus came and asked us the very question, are you willing to give up all your possessions and follow me? What would our answer be? Are we willing to give up our houses that we bought and we're still paying mortgage for? No. But Jesus is saying, if you don't do this, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Again, this is a very tough message. What does it mean to have possessions? It means that you own something. When you own something, it belongs to you and you keep it because you like it. Does it bring you joy? Then you keep it. If it doesn't bring you joy, throw it. Those who know will know. If you know, you know. But here, what we are talking about is that Jesus is telling to the rich man that you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Though he lived a perfect, blameless life, you will not enter because you are still holding on to your possessions. Again, this is a very tough message to hear. Let's read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. So it says there that all who live a godly life, who want to live a godly life, what will happen to them? They will be persecuted. Are you wanting to live a godly life? Please, someone tell yes. Yes, yes. I know all of us would say yes. Next question, are you being persecuted? When we think of persecution, what do we think of? People in North India, Christians in Iran, Christians in North Korea, in Russia, communist places like China. That's what where we go think of persecution. When Jesus says this here, or not, sorry, Paul says this, it says, all people who want to live godly life will be persecuted. That means if you want to live a godly life, persecution is not just something you might go through. It is a necessity. It is a requirement for discipleship. How are we persecuting? Who is persecuting us? That's the funny answer. The persecution is not coming from outside people. It is coming from within. We are persecuting ourselves. Only then we can live a godly life. What does persecution mean? Suffering for the right, suffering for the gospel. Why would you deny yourself? Because you're suffering for the gospel. Why would you give up all your possessions? Because you're suffering for the gospel. God wants us to suffer. In return, we are getting eternal life. It seems like a small transaction. We are getting traded up. We are getting eternal life, so much more greater, without value. Let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 14, verses 33 to 35. Again, this is the same chapter that we were reading, but someone read verse 33 to 35. Can you read that part again? It says, so then none of you can be disciples who does not give up what? All his own possessions. Are we ready, church? I'll tell you, I'm not. I still need to go home. There's car and I have food there. So I'm not ready to give up all my possessions. This is natural. But God is telling us the cost of being a disciple of Christ is to give up everything. Anything that you count as a blessing up to this point, you have to think it is rubbish in light of the eternal weight of glory. We can only understand that we do this naturally in our life when we think of our education. Our children, if you ask them, how many of you guys like assignments, exams, and going to school? None of them. You? Joel, except Joel. So everyone else struggles with doing papers, examinations, midterms, and all of these difficult assignments. But parents, do you tell them you have to study? Why? For a what future? A better future. If you suffer now, you will get a better future. Imagine you know your child is going to die when he's 16 years old. There was an illness pronounced and the doctor said there is no way he will survive when he's 16 years old, he will die. If that person does not study, will the parents have a problem? No, he doesn't have a future. But our children have a future. We want them to suffer. Your parents love making you suffer. We want you to suffer. Why? To have a better future. God wants us to suffer in this earth. We are trading our suffering. What is our suffering? Denying ourselves. I don't want food. I don't want water. I don't want PlayStation. I don't want movies. I don't want video games. I don't want secular music. I will trade all of that in return for Christ. That is what God is asking us to do. Trade everything. Parents are so happy. They're going to go home. Pastor Gertale, video game illum maati vekkan parayum. But I'll tell you, it's not even that. Whatever thing that you like your phone, put it away. Your laptop, put it away. Your bank balance, put it away. Whatever you possess. Can we read Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 to 21? And then we'll just read one more verse and we will end here. I'll continue it next week. Yeah. Keep your eyes on those who walk according to the temple of the others. For many of whom I have often told you, and have See, that verse there, it says, 17, it says, brother, join in following my example. Observe all those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. So Paul is saying, I live differently. In fact, if you were listening to Nobi Rajan's message on Friday evening, he said, Christians have to live differently. There is a remarkable difference. If people don't see a difference between us and worldly people, tell you have no point in being a Christian or a disciple. It says there that look at me. Paul says, look at me. Look at the pattern of life I live. And then it goes on there to say, many walk of whom I often told you and now tell you even weeping that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. These are Christians. They are not worldly people. He's saying certain Christians are enemies of the cross of Christ. What did Paul say? We have to become like Christ even to the point of the cross. And then, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. This is the difference of a Christian who is going to end up in hell and a Christian who is going to go up in heaven. The person who sets his mind on eternal things. But their appetite, they don't give in to it. If your God is your appetite, whatever you crave, you will feed it. You want to go outside. You want to watch something. You want to feed your flesh. Nothing is stopping you. It's okay. We can justify it and say, someone else is doing it. Why can't I do it? Nothing wrong in that. But this is what God wants his children to do. Don't feed your appetite. God is not your stomach. Some of you will walk away thinking this is about food, but those who are spiritually discerning will understand this is more than just food. Don't feed your appetite. Our citizenship is in heaven. And one more verse, and then I'll stop. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Okay, so we see that no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Children of God, you're either in the boat where you want to succeed and have wealth in this world and your mind is focused on earthly things, or you're on the other boat, which is on the spiritual boat. Your eyes are fixed on eternity and you would rather suffer now to reach that eternal shore. What boat are we in? Are we willing to deny our appetite? This is fasting. This is what Christ is calling us to do, to suffer with him. When Jesus went to the cross, he didn't go there willingly. He didn't go there because he wanted to. His sole purpose was to come and die. This was the hour he came for. The hour came for him to die. The only hour that mattered to Jesus was when he was going to die. He came for one purpose, to die. But at the end, he wasn't even sure. He doesn't even want to go. Children of God, it doesn't make any sense for us to persecute ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to deny our appetite. Worldly people can do whatever they want. Why can't we live like that? It's because you are persecuting yourself to live a godly life. Persecute yourself. The only way you can persecute yourself is if you hate your flesh. You have to hate your life. If you like your life, you will feed it. Only if you hate your life right now, the life that we live in the flesh, can we start focusing on spiritual things. Next week, if I'm still preaching here, I will talk about this blessings that God gives us to the people who are willing to sacrifice. Because talking about suffering and hating ourselves, you don't see why we should do it until we see this is what we're getting in return. Only when we know what we get in return do we think trading our life here on earth is better than the earth, the life in heaven. You know, like, we will trade our life here. For me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. For every Christian, dying is gain. Means like you will want to die. You hate your body so much. But we'll only understand why we should hate our body when we understand what blessing is in store for the people who will hate their body. Can I have the Malayalam worship team to come forward? We'll be taking offering. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Father, for this time. As we look to your word is very clear. We cannot serve both wealth and God. We cannot serve our stomach and God. We cannot serve our flesh and the spirit. Both are opposite to one another. You're calling us to deny ourselves. Take up this cross daily. It is a daily requirement that we die to ourselves, God. I no longer want to live, but Christ in me. Ende ishtam venda priyane, ange ishtam ennil poornamakene. Make your desire my desire, not my desire. That's what we want. When we, Father, we surrender to that, will you speak to us, Lord? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.